So who were you in another life? Or we'll take your questions. That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. I'm George Norrie with Jeff Helen Danilek, our special guest. He's the author of Mystery of Reincarnation. We're going to take your phone calls this hour as well. Jeffrey, anything specific you're looking for in some of these calls tonight?
Oh, no, not really. I've always found that people come up with all kinds of really good questions just left to their own devices.
Why do some people, and you're going to hear this, think they have been reincarnated, though they haven't undergone a past life regression?
I do believe that some people have inclinations that they were someone in a past life based upon certain things that have happened to them, certain interests or affinities that they've developed. For example, even before I was regressed and found out I was a German soldier, I had an affinity for the military and World War II history and
right.
things like that. So already I had some inkling, but I just didn't have the details. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if people thought that.
So you do pick up some of those traits in terms of likes, dislikes, hobbies, interests that the individual may have had.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And at the time, they don't seem to make any sense. But then when you put it all together with reincarnation, all of a sudden, all these different things come together, and it makes sense to you what you were at one point.
Okay, let's take some calls here. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. I'm Joy in Costa Mesa, California.
Hi, Joy.
In 1998, I had the opportunity to vacation in Egypt for a month with Charles Thomas Casey, the grandson of Edgar Casey.
Oh, sure.
And I became great friends with him. The day that we were in Cairo, they made arrangements for us to enter the Great Pyramid at 6 p.m. after it had closed to the public. And the 40 of us were given free rein to just run around totally at random in the pyramid and go exploring. With the instructions to place yourself in a location at 8 p.m. where you want to be when all the lights go out. The purpose being that you could then do a 30-minute meditation. So I decided to place myself laying down inside the sarcophagus in the king's chamber from which to do my meditation. Thinking, okay, this ought to be fun.
Right.
They turn off the lights, and it's awesome just how amazing that was. I laid there expecting, okay, I'm tired, jet lag, I'll just get a nice nap. Anything farther than the truth. All of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I see the top of that pyramid unfold like a flower. And a bright light come through, and then all of a sudden, I'm transported underground, and I see my own hand with a brush in it, painting wet paint on the walls of a tomb, painting Egyptian cartouches. Suddenly, I am aware that I know and understand what these things mean, and that the people around me that are speaking in their native language, I know what they're saying. And I'm just floored. It lasted a brief period of time, and then I came back into inside of the pyramid. Several days later, when we were touring outside the Valley of the Kings, we toured a pyramid, and the people around me said that I turned so white they thought they were going to have to get a paramedic. I was staring at the wall I painted, and I was more shocked than anyone there. It was just so bizarre.
Would you go back again?
I can't wait. Are you kidding? But, you know, like you're saying, I've been a painter all my life. I've always been interested in things Egyptian. But I had never put it together until I went there and had this experience.
Jeffrey, your take.
Yeah, it's not at all unusual to have that kind of revealed to you at that time. It's called a synchronicity, where you have a coincidence in your life which is life-changing or profoundly important to you. Having been led to Egypt and where you were put to allow yourself to suddenly become aware of this past life is kind of the universe's way of telling you to pay attention, that this is who you were, this is what you were, and this bring this all together for you.
It most certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hey, thanks for the story. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on with us. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Joe from Columbus, Ohio.
Sure, Joe. Thank you.
Hey, I don't know if you guys brought this up or not, I kind of missed a little bit of the show, but I was just wondering about birthmarks and reincarnation, if they had any, you know, any connections.
Oh, they sure do. Jeff, this is your area.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit earlier, the idea that you can actually transfer certain physical traits from one incarnation to another. One case that was studied of a child that was born without any fingers on its right hand, and they discovered that in its past life, it had lost the fingers in an industrial accident as an adult, and actually retained that deformity into the next life, probably as a result of the trauma that it created. So it does appear that in some cases, especially if a mark was acquired through some sort of trauma, you are able to bring it across at least through the next incarnation.
Joe, the reason for the question. Joe is gone.
Well,
he's joined a past life. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is John from Bonnie Lake, Washington.
Hey, John.
I would like to ask Jeff, in light of the Word of God, concerning the fact that man has one life and then the judgment, or when King David said that although he would be in his grave, yet with his own eyes he would see God, or when Daniel said, when he was writing about the last days, God told him to seal up the book, that he would be standing in his grave until the time of the end, and then he would be given an immortal body. How do you justify reincarnation and talking about God when God's word denies reincarnation?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, I don't think it denies it. The one reference you made reference to there about the judgment coming and then dying ones in the judgment, that actually has nothing really to do with reincarnation. That's out of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And that really is talking about Christ's ability to forgive sins, because he died once for all humanity in the same way that Adam sinned once for all humanity. So that's why the reference to die once and then the judgment was talking about mankind, not individual people. Really, in reincarnation, and there are Christians who believe in reincarnation, by the way, there's Gnostics who integrate reincarnation into their beliefs. These people understand the judgment to become something that happens between incarnations. So, yes, you have a life review, you look at what you did, and that's your judgment. It's a self-judgment, in effect.
You don't think there's somebody up there with the big book of your whole life?
No, I think you have the big book inside yourself. There's not some external person who's judging you. You're just looking at what you have done yourself and understanding why and how you did it.
How many people have come to a near-death experience, and they always talk about that, seeing their life come before their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's true. I think that's all in there. It's all retained in your brain, and you do see it. So I don't think there's really a big inconsistency between reincarnation and Christianity. I really don't see it.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on the air with us. Hello there. Good morning. Hello. Well, that one, it's gone, too. We've got a lot that are joining past lives tonight.
Wow.
Well, here's our next wild card line. Hello there.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, sir. Thanks.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
My question is, if reincarnation pertains to everybody, what about Lucifer? Does he reincarnate?
Well, Lucifer is more of a religious symbol. I don't know if there really is an actual being or creature named Lucifer. However, I do believe that there are spiritual entities out there, beings, if you will, that exist in that kind of a spirit state. I think that they do have an option of reincarnating if they want to, but apparently for whatever reason, they don't want to do that, and they stay kind of in that more of a dark state. So to answer your question, I think any spirit, any soul can reincarnate. However, I don't think all of them choose to.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call, George.
Okay, sure. My pleasure. If you had the ability to past life someone, as the hypnotist, do you ask, what kind of questions do you ask or do they ask, Jeff?
Well, it's important that the hypnotist not try to lead their patient, you know, and try to describe things for them to, you know, because that would be leading them. What a good therapist will do is simply ask you to describe what you're seeing or feeling at any given moment without giving you any real prodding. In other words, a hypnotist should not say, okay, you're standing, picture yourself standing in front of a Victorian home.
Yeah, right. Because they think that. That's right.
Yeah. But what they would say is, you know, move down a path and then go someplace that you feel comfortable going. Now, where? Tell me where you're at. That kind of a thing. So they make it general enough so that your description is not something that they're kind of giving you. You come up with it yourself.
Let's go west of the Rockies. You're up with us. Hello there.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
This is Samantha from Northern California. How are you?
Good, Samantha.
I wanted to comment to your wonderful guest tonight. He did not mention anything about people who are born with long memory. And I was born with long memory, and I remember all of my past lives, including being a German soldier in my last life, where I was shot in front of Stalingrad, and I still carry the pain from the wounds in my back. I was also trampled to death and did not know during the Roman period of when that happened until recently they had the program digging the cities underground, where they discovered the hippodrome. And all of a sudden, click, that's exactly where it was that had happened. Additionally, when we do die, we do go over to the other side. We do a life review where we take a look at our charts to see how we have progressed in this lifetime and whether or not we have made the kind of progress that we have wanted to make. Then we can have the opportunity to then select the parents that we are going to be born to. And so I would like your comment on that.
You don't believe that we select, though, Jeff, do you?
No, I do believe that we have some degree of choice. We can't necessarily know exactly how the whole life is going to go before we live it. But I did say that we could select gender venues. We could actually pick a particular place, city, country that we prefer to be born into. And I also agree that there is that life review, that process. I think that charts and things like this is something that we create out of our imagination as a metaphor to help us understand where we're at. I don't really think there's literal charts and stuff like this, but those are all helpful imagery that we create in order to gauge ourselves and our progress where we want to be. But I agree with almost everything the caller says in terms of between lives and choosing lives. But again, I don't think we already have the whole life figured out before we get into it.
Jeffrey, what determines the time limit? You know, we talked about there could be gaps, but, you know, why would or how could someone die and then that soul immediately go into another body or not? What determines the speed of that?
I think it's how much thought they put into what they want to do next. If they haven't put a lot of thought into it, if they really don't care what happens next, they might immediately move into another fetus. On the other hand, if they have some idea of what kind of venue they want, they may have to wait a while until the perfect conditions or circumstances arise for them to come back into the physicality.
You think people who are schizophrenic might have full recollection of past lives and they're all jumbled up?
Well, I don't know if that's the symptom of schizophrenia. Schizophrenia is where you hear different voices and you have, you know, kind of these multiple personality things going on.
Yeah, but I mean, what if they think they were all these other people?
Well, I suppose that's possible, but I kind of think if schizophrenia has a paranormal explanation, it's, you're probably dealing more with psychic energies, your brain picking up all of these different entities at once around you,
yeah,
rather than that you're picking up past lives. I am open to the possibility, however, that some souls, some very young souls, may ride with another soul through a particular incarnation as kind of a background personality, just to kind of get a feel for how it works, in the same way you would take your kid and teach them how to drive a car without actually letting them drive by themselves.
Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, my name is Luca from Madison, Wisconsin.
Luca. Hi, Luca.
I just had an idea, and essentially it was came from a comment that you actually made, George, when you were saying, if I was if I found out that I was a Nazi in my past life, it would eat me alive. But I was thinking about a concept that humans are domesticated as they're young, and you got to figure that there's probably a lot of information that is put into an individual that they really probably earlier than they're even able to make a decision whether to believe or disbelieve. So in a sense, I feel like the idea of the guilt feeling of realizing that, in a sense, you could probably let it go because you're not actually guilty. Somebody put a whole bunch of messed up information in you, and then you went and did a whole bunch of things.
And well, and you're right. Look, you should be able to let it go. I don't know, Jeffrey, how many people can do that. I mean, if they truly begin to dwell on it, it could eat them alive.
Well, I do think it's all a question of understanding what the process is doing and how it works. The better you understand the process involved, the less likely you are to retain those kinds of feelings of guilt and regret, because you see that as a part of the process. It's just like someone who, say, was in prison when they were young for something they did, and 30, 40 years later they look back at that as a learning experience rather than as a very negative thing that happened. And it's the same way with these different incarnations. If you had a bad past life, just learn from it and go on from there and don't worry about it.
As a graphic artist, do you sometimes illustrate past lives and what people describe?
No, not really.
There's more artwork for you there, Jeff.
Yeah, I like more writing. I'm kind of moving in.
You're moving into the novelist end, huh?
Yeah, I enjoy painting with words instead of...
Okay, the evolution. See, this is your regression.
Yeah.
All right, well, stay with us. We've still got another round of phone calls to go for you. If you need to email me tonight, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Jeff's website is linked up with his name, also at the coasttocoastam.com website. We'll be right back. We'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Ah, Luca sounded like he was right by a train track, didn't he, on that last call? On our next Coast to Coast program, we are going to talk about chemtrails. It's been a while since we've done that. Just what the heck is going on up there? We'll be back in a moment with final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Jeff, before we get on to more calls, I wanted to thank you for being just a wonderful guest on the program this night.
Oh, I enjoy this, George. You're a really superb interviewer.
Let us move on to our international line. Where are you calling from?
Vancouver, BC.
Okay, great.
George, or Jeff, I should say. My name's, I go by the name Pontifex anyway. What do you think of the spirit orbs?
Spirit orbs?
Yes, I've had quite an amazing experience since 2003. There was, on an astrological chart, six planets lined up to make a perfect star of David. And I went to this event and stood over crystal, and this amazing energy imploded and you knocked me out, and now I channel this energy. But since then, I was wondering what I do with this, and I've been doing earth healing ceremonies and so forth. But in this wheel that I've built up in the mountains, I found crystal caves and so forth. I'm having all these entities, spirit orbs and sylphs and fairies and all this other stuff. But what's interesting is I'm getting photographs of these orbs without a flash, and I'm getting the energy. So if you think of it this way, a picture of a Buddha or Christ, the halo around them, your third eye is your seat of your consciousness. Now, years ago, I went on a peyote trip, and I shot off into the heavens, and all these orbs came to me, and we communicated. And they asked me first thing. They
said, let me stop you for a second,
yeah,
because you're going off on a tangent.
I know. I got so much to say.
Well, except that we're dealing with reincarnation tonight, not your spirit orbs. However, definitely call me during one of our open line programs, and we'll give you more time to talk about that. I don't think you address that, Jeff, do you?
Well, not in reincarnation. I do in my ghost book. I talk a little bit about orbs, things like that. But
do you want to talk about that now?
Well, all in orb is, in my opinion, those that are not actual, you know, photographic anomalies are probably just essentially ghosts in a bubble, if you will. They're conscious energy that have taken on the simplest geometric form possible, which is a sphere, and they just haven't acquired enough energy to manifest themselves into a full body apparition. So that's kind of my working theory of what an orb is.
Next up, Wild Card Line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
This is Susanna. Jeff, George, it's been wonderful listening to you, and it's a pleasure to be on again.
Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you. Last time I called, I gave my alien abduction experience, and that was on April 11th. About reincarnation, I have a little tale to tell that may, well, at least for me, it kind of proved it.
All right.
And this is the Reader's Digest version. I had a dream years ago of seeing a woman's body draped over a man's arm, and I thought in my sleep I had just witnessed a murder. Knowing that I was able to astral project, I immediately called my friend and said, you know, do I need to report this? And he regressed me, and I discovered that it was my past life death in 1941. Fast forward to working in a spiritual store that my girlfriend owns in Grass Valley, and a customer came in, and being a clairvoyant, I read energy for customers and avidly threw out little tidbits. And this gal's energy was black, and she was scoping out the area to live in. And I said, well, the dark side clings to you through your rage. And she said, well, I was a Nazi, and I don't have any qualms about the atrocities that I committed. She was very angry, and I shuddered. And as she left, I bade her well and then immediately said a prayer to God that I'd never see her again. 5 years later, I ended up going to a counseling session out in a park, beautiful sunny day, and a couple of hours into the session, I was trying to get some spiritual protection for myself. The woman that was counseling me jumped back from the picnic bench and said, you're the one. You changed my life. I said, lady, I've never seen you before in my life. And 5 years hence and different hairstyles, we didn't recognize each other. She was the woman from the store, the customer.
How strange.
And what had happened was she had been the Nazi in 1941, male form Nazi, that had raped me, got me pregnant. My husband had found out, and he slit my throat before I could plan an escape route.
Ugh.
I didn't want to tell him because I knew he would confront the Nazi and lose his life. So in this life, face to face, she apologized and said that she would help me in any way she could, and she immediately cut her fees in half for the day.
How do you think both of you migrated to each other?
We're both very gifted spiritualists. She's established a business in the area, and I'm still kind of hiding out.
Jeff, what causes that? What causes that migration?
Well, that's called synchronicity. That's a perfect example of it, how souls actually interact with each other, not just in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. I think at some point you agreed. You probably travel together with this other soul, and you probably have encountered them in multiple previous incarnations.
Do they generally enter the human body at about the same time?
No, they can enter at any different time. I mean, one person could be much older than you.
All right.
So,
but eventually they will migrate together somehow.
Sometimes, yeah. Not in every incarnation. There might be certain souls you travel with you don't see every time, but you will see them once in a while. But this apparently was an important element in both of your experiences in order to reconcile this situation and mature spiritually.
Is it a yearning? Is it a struggling to get back to the other spirit? I mean, might they travel long distances just to do this?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's more of something they feel impelled to do, and they recognize that it's important that they do this in order to put this kind of situation behind them and move on spiritually.
A lot of soldier reincarnations. How come?
Well, you know, there was 3.5 million Germans killed in World War II, so I imagine there's a lot of them reincarnating right about now. I get lots of emails all the time from people who tell me that they also were a German soldier. Once they read that I was, it just like they're just all over the place.
First time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, it's Mark from San Bruno at the Peninsula.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your show very much, and there's a lot that spoke about or discussed that resonates with me. And that's largely because many years ago, I was into discovering my past reincarnation lifetimes, largely through self-hypnosis. And it's really been a unique experience. It's like being thrown into a scene, a holographic scene or something, and I just suddenly recognize everything around me. But I wanted to find out if I never saw complete lifetimes. It's like they were just glimpses.
Pieces of them?
Yes, of these lifetimes. And I was wondering if it's true. I read something to the effect that we're only allowed to remember lifetimes that have some sort of relevance to the present lifetime. Is that true?
Well, I don't think there's any hard and fast rule or you only can see those, but there would be not much point in recollecting a lifetime that didn't have some sort of significant drama that affects your present lifetime. The reason we only see little bits and pieces is because we're just remembering those really important traumatic events, which would you naturally assume, just like you do in this life. You tend to, if you go back 20 years, you could only probably remember the most important events in your life, not everything that happened.
And it just sounds like there's some kind of block put on us for some reason.
Well, I mean, the brain has a limited capacity to process this information, so I think it's really more of a limitation of being in the physical body. I think once we're in the spirit, once we're out of our physical body, I think we can retain these memories real easy. But as long as we're filtering these memories through our current brain, we're limited in what we can access just because we can't handle the capacity.
All right, Mark, thanks for your call. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Catherine from Colorado Springs.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi. I've had two near deaths, and each time I die, I do come back as the same person. I am going to be dying soon, and I wondered, is there a way that we can choose to come back in our present, or do we have to choose another body?
Actually, I've heard one hypothesis is that we can reincarnate back into the same life over and over and over again, because there's an infinite number of different possibilities each lifetime holds. And if you change just one thing at a certain point, the rest of the whole lifetime changes. So, I do think that you can experience the same incarnation repeatedly if you want to get the fullest benefit of it. And I think actually it happens to a lot of people, which might be one of the explanations for deja vu.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Next up, let's go to East of the Rockies. Your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, real well. You're on.
Oh, man, this is great. First off, I got to say, I really love the show, and I'm just starting to get into it. A friend turned me on to it, and, man, I listen every night, and it's just great.
That's a friend.
You know that there's people out there that are into the stuff that I'm into. But I got a question for Jeff.
Sure.
A while back, I went to a lecture, Dr. Thurman. You guys know who he is, right?
Thurman.
Hello?
Thurman. You, who's a Dr.
Yeah.
Thurman, Jeff?
I've never heard of him, no.
What's his first name? Do you know?
It's Uma Thurman's dad, you know, the actor. He does a lot of, like, with the Buddhists and stuff.
Okay.
Well, anyway, okay. I went to a lecture, and it was a debate between, like, science and, Buddhism. And it was crazy because, it was Dr. Thurman, and he was debating against this, like, Buddhist, monk meditating guy. And the guy actually had brought, his friend, and he claimed that it was his father, like, reincarnated and stuff. And, the debate went on and so forth. But you said earlier that, with ghosts and stuff, that how they're, like, attached and stuff, and how the ghosts, they stick around because they have attachments, right?
Yeah. You know
what you're saying before?
Right.
Well, my question was, I don't know, the Buddhists, when I went to this lecture, they were talking about a lot how, like, attachments, humans, when they have attachments, it, like, destroys them because, when people are attached to something, like, the ego kicks in and, like, all that stuff with, like, love and, like, people, it drives them crazy because of attachments. But, they said that when you die, there's no attachments and stuff. And I was thinking, like, if I died and my spirit was, like, roaming around, like, why would I stick around and, like, haunt people if, like, when I'm dead and I have no type of, like, an attachment?
Okay, and that was Robert Thurman.
Robert Thurman, that's what it is.
It.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Attachments, Jeff.
Attachments, yeah.
So the question is, why why would a person choose to stay behind?
Yeah, or why would they get attached to some other physical body, for example?
Well, I think that that happens a lot of times when people have not really come to terms with the concept of death. It's a concept which is frightening to them. It represents extinction to them. And so they grasp onto something that they're familiar with, be it a place that they used to live or someone that they knew. And they will hold on to that as opposed to taking the chance of being extinguished in their mind. So that, I think that's why people are remain ghosts. It could even be argued that ghosts are, in effect, almost insane personalities in some ways because they refuse to move on as they should, and they stay.
And they stay, and they stay, and they stay.
Like, yeah, like a bad relative.
When you wrote your book, The Case for Ghosts, and now, of course, The Mystery of Reincarnation, did you see similarities there?
Well, not similarities. I always see one book as a continuation of the other. I wrote the reincarnation book first, actually, and then the ghost book came from that, and it explored a whole different realm that I had only been able to touch upon in reincarnation. So I almost look at them as complementary sort of books.
All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
This is Fran from Tampa.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff, have you ever read the book, The Search for Bridie Murphy?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Oh, I didn't hear it. In 1970, I lived in Denver, and I met Bridie Murphy. Her real name was Ginny Teague. I think it's T-I-G-H.
Yeah, Virginia Teague, yeah.
Yeah, and she told me about what happened. She said that she wanted to quit smoking, and she had a physician friend, and he offered to try it. And when he put her under, she was such a good subject that he just kept regressing her until finally she talked about a life in Ireland. And she said when she came out of it, now she had no idea of what reincarnation was. She had no conscious memory of anything. But when she heard the tapes, what startled her was that as she was talking about her life in Ireland, giving dates of her birth and her death, she had an Irish brogue. And then he wrote the book, The Search for Bridie Murphy, but she didn't want her real name used, so they used the name Ruth Simmons. And she was really ostracized for it because eventually the real name came out. They don't know how. She was brought up by, I believe, an aunt and uncle, and they were very strict. And she had to move. I mean, it was, I guess, back probably in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
and people didn't talk about things like that. So she was considered a witch. And but she was the sweetest lady. She really wasn't out for fame.
Did you believe her story?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had read the story years before I met her. I was into all these kind of things. And, she offered to let me listen to the tapes, and I don't remember what happened. We wrote for a while because then I got moved to New York. And I was in California about 12 years ago visiting my son, and I picked up the Sunday paper, and there was her obituary, which I thought was strange because I don't think they had it here in Florida. But it happened to be in the California paper that she had died, and they spoke about
it. Probably back again.
Yeah, really.
You know,
but no, she was a wonderful lady. But she didn't get a lot of fun out of it in the beginning. She was treated pretty bad.
Yeah, in fact, she really never was a big adherent to reincarnation. She didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that actually brings credibility to her case because she wasn't looking for any of this stuff, and she really didn't like it.
That's exactly right. She did not like it at all, but she said that she was as surprised as anyone else when she heard the tapes because she'd never been to Ireland. She didn't have an Irish brogue, but suddenly there she was.
Did it scare her?
No, she said she didn't know what to make of it. I think it frightened her after they wrote the book. Because once her name got out, then all of a sudden everybody was...
Oh, yeah. She had the notoriety then.
She really suffered a lot from it. And I think she had like 5 children, and she had to move and get another home. And people just treated her like... Of course, then after a few years, then they started writing articles about her because more people started to believe in this. But what I wanted to ask you, Jeff, was...
And we have a minute to go. Go ahead.
Okay. I've heard so many psychics say that, you know, you get to choose your parents, you get to choose. Well, who in the world would want to pick a mean mother or a nasty father or be brought up in a third world country? I mean, I just can't, I don't understand this.
Well, the quick answer would be that that is one way perhaps of learning some compassion. If you're put yourself in a situation like that, the other is that you're a very young soul and you haven't done a lot of thinking about your next incarnation, and you just take the first fetus that comes along, and that's the result.
And it's not a selection, Jeff, for, you know, gain. It's a selection, as you said, for learning.
Exactly.
There's a big difference. I mean, we as human beings obviously want the best family, the best everything we can. I would guess a reincarnated soul doesn't have that motivation.
No, not necessarily. They're actually out for the experience, even if the experience may be negative. It could be an important part of their learning process.
You got it. Jeff, we are out of time, but once again, my friend, thank you. It's always good to talk with you.
Thanks, George. This has been great. I enjoyed it.
Jeff Danilek, the book, Mystery of Reincarnation. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.